Green of Arbus.
Ah.
Worthy deed. I shall become your well-trained teacher, captain to soft and gentle speech. It is not a time for private stomaching.
Every time serves for the matter that is then born in.
Well, small to greater matters must give way.
Not as a small comfort.
Your speech is fashion. I pray you stir no embers up. Here comes the noble Antony.
Noble friends, that which confined us was most great, and let not a leaner action rend us. What's amiss may be gently heard. When we debate our trivial difference loud, we do commit murder in healing wounds. Then, noble partners, the rather, for I earnestly beseech, touch you the sourest points with sweetest terms, nor curse me throw to the matter.
You've spoken well. Were we before our armies and to fight, I should do thus.
Welcome to Rome.
Thank you.
Sit,
sir.
Madam.
I learn you take things ill, which are not so, or being concern you not.
I must be laughed at if it were nothing or a little. I should say myself offended, and with you, chiefly the world.
My being an Egypt Caesar, what was to you?
No more than my residing here at Rome might be to you in Egypt. And if you'd added practice on my state, your being in Egypt might be my question.
How intend you? Practice?
You may be pleased to catch at mine intent by what did here before me. Your wife and brother made wars upon me, and their contestation was themed for you. You were the word of war.
You do mistake your business. My brother never did urge me in his act.
Of this my letters before to satisfy you.
If you'll patch a quarrel as matter whole you have to make it with, it must not be with this. As for my wife, I wish you had her spirit in such another. The third of the world is yours, which with a snaffle you may pace easy, but not such a wife. So much uncurbable, her garboil, Caesar. Made out of her impatience, which not want a shrewdness of policy, too. I grieving grant did you too much disquiet. For that, you must but say, I could not help it.
I wrote to you when rioting in Alexandria. You did pocket up my letters with taunts to chide my missive out of audience.
Sir, he fell upon me ere admitted then. Three kings I had newly feasted and did want of what I was in the morning. The next day I told him of myself, which was as much as to have asked him pardon. Oh, let this fellow be nothing of our strife. If we contend out of our question, wipe him.
You have broken the article of your oath, which you shall never have tongue to charge me with.
Soft, Caesar.
No, Lepidus, let him speak. The honor is sacred which he talks on now. Supposing that I lacked it. But on, Caesar.
The article of my oath.
To lend me arms and aid when I require them. The which you both deny.
Neglected, rather. And then when poisoned hours had bound me up from mine own knowledge. As nearly as I may, I'll play the penitent to you. But mine honesty shall not make poor my greatness, nor my power work without it. Truth is, that fool beer to have me out of Egypt made wars here, for which myself, the ignorant motive, do so far ask pardon, as befits mine honor to stoop in such a case.
It is noble spoken. If it might please you to enforce no further the griefs between ye, to forget them quite, to remember that the present need speaks to atone you.
Word that is spoken.
Oh! If you borrow one another's love, for the instant you may. When you hear no more words of Pompey, return it again. You shall have time to wrangle him when you have nothing else to do.
If thou art a soldier, only speak no more.
The truth should be silent. I'd almost forgot.
Wrong this presence, therefore speak no more.
Go to them, your considerate stone.
I do not much dislike the matter, or the manner of his speech. What cannot be, we shall remain in friendship. Our conditions are differing in their acts. Yet if I knew what hoop should hold us staunch from edge to edge of the world, I would pursue it.
Give me leave, Caesar.
Speak, Agrippa.
Thou hast a sister by the mother's side, admired Octavia. Great Mark Antony is now a widower.
Say not so, Agrippa. Cleopatra held you. Your approval well deserved of rashness.
I am not married, Caesar. Let me hear Agrippa further speak.
Well, to hold you in perpetual amity, to make you brothers, and to knit your hearts with an unslipping knot, take Antony, Octavia, to his wife, whose beauty claims no worse a husband than the best of men, whose virtue and whose general graces speak that which none else can utter. By this marriage, all little jealousies which now seem great, and all great fears which now import their dangers, would then be nothing. But truths would be tales, when our heart tales be truths. Her love to both would each to other, and all loves to both draw after her. Pardon what I have spoke, for it is a studied, not a present thought. By duty, ruminated.
Caesar speak?
Not till he hears how Antony is touched with what is spoke already.
What power is in Agrippa? If I would say, Agrippa, be it so, to make this good.
Power of Caesar. His power unto Octavia.
May I never, to this good purpose that so fairly shows, dream of impediment. Let me have your hand further of this act of grace, and from this hour the heart of brothers govern in our loves and sway our great designs.
There's my hand. A sister I bequeath you, whom no brother did ever love so dearly. Let her live to join our kingdoms and our hearts, and never fly off our loves again.
Happily, amen.
I did not think to draw my sword against Pompey. For he hath laid strange courtesies and great of late upon me. I must thank him only, lest my remembrance suffer ill report. But he'll have that to buy him.
Time calls upon us. Of us must Pompey presently be sought. Or else he seeks out us.
I see. About the Martmacenum.
What is his force, Baron?
Great. And increasing. But by sea, he's an absolute master.
So is the thing.
Would we had spoke together.
Haste before it. Yet ere we put ourselves in arms, dispatch we the business we have talked of.
With most gladness. And to invite you to my sister's view. With a straight I'll lead you.
Let us not lack your company.
Noble Antony. Not sickness to detain me.
Welcome from Egypt, sir.
Good evening, Barbas.
We have cause to be glad that matters are so well digested. You said well, Bites, in Egypt?
Oh, I found. We did sleep the day out of countenance and made the night light with drinking.
8 wild boars roasted whole at breakfast. And the 12 persons there. Is this true?
This was but as a fly by an eagle. We had much more monstrous matter of feast, which worthily deserved the noting.
She's a most triumphant lady, reports the square to her.
When she first met Mark Antony, she pursed up his heart on the River of Cydnus.
There she appeared indeed, all my reporters advised.
I'll tell you. The barge she sat in, like a burnished throne, burned on the water. The poop was beaten gold, purple the sails, and so perfumed, the winds were lovesick with them. Yours were silver, which to the tune of flutes kept stroke, and made the water which they beat to follow faster, as amorous of their strokes. Our own person? It beggared all description. She did lie in her pavilion. Cloth of gold of tissue. All picturing that Venus where we see the fancy outwork nature. On each side there stood pretty dimpled boys, like smiling cupids with divers colored fans whose wings did seem to glow. The delicate cheeks which they did cool, and what they undid.
Oh,
and gentlewomen, like the Nereides, so many mermaids, tenderer in the eyes, and made their bends adornings. At the helm a seeming mermaid steers. The silken tackle swell with the touches of those flower soft hands that yearly frame the office. From the barge, a strange, invisible perfume hits the sense of the adjacent wharfs. The city cast the people out upon an anchory, enthroned to the marketplace to sit alone, whistling to the air, which, but for vacancy, had gone to gaze on Cleopatra too, and made a gap in nature.
Rare Egyptian.
Upon a landing, Antony turned to her, invited her to supper. She replied, it should be better. He became her guest, which she entreated. Our courteous Antony
Ne'er the word of no woman heard speak. Being barbered 10 times or goes to the feast for his ordinary, pays his heart for what his eyes eat only.
Royal wench. She made great Caesar lay his sword to bed. He ploughed her. She cropped.
I saw her once hop 40 paces through the public street. Having lost her breath, she spoke and panted that she did make defect perfection. And breathless, power breathe forth.
Now Antony must leave her utterly.
Never. He will not. Age cannot wither her. A custom stayed her. Infinite variety. Other women cloy the appetites they feed, but she makes hungry where most she satisfies. The vilest things become themselves in her. But the holy priests, bless her, when she is riggish.
If beauty, wisdom, modesty can settle the heart of Antony, Octavia is a blessed lottery to him.